Amen.
That'd be fun. Holiday parades, sign-up sheets look great. A few open spots, I believe, so make sure you check that. And then make sure you remember which parade you signed up to work. But thanks for the help there. It'll be a blessing to get the gospel out around our community, different places. So excited about those opportunities. And then last announcement for this evening, there's a church softball game, maybe, on Saturday, November the 25th. If you would like to participate, we would like you to participate. We won't publish any pictures. Not going to say we won't take any pictures and enjoy them for ourselves. We won't publish any pictures, but if you sign up, that'll help us know whether or not that's going to be a possibility or how much fun it's going to be. That sign-up sheet's in the lobby as well.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you for signing up. Thank you for helping us do those parades. It really is. It's a highlight of our year to get God's Word to that many people. I think last year is about 24,000 gospel tracts we got out in the two weekends of those parades. And it's just a joy just get out there and stand up for Jesus. Just let the whole world see that you're a Christian and you're not ashamed of the gospel. So if you're coming, please sign up. We have a certain number of people we need at each parade, and if we get there with the number of people we need and there's other people there that didn't sign up, we could have sent those people, divided up people better than what we did. So appreciate you helping us with that. But thank you for your willingness to tell the world about Jesus. I mean, it's great to be saved and on the way to heaven, but it's even greater to take somebody with you. Jesus said, here's what he said about his Father. He said, he rejoices more over one sinner that repents than over the 99 that already have. So God's really happy you're here tonight, saved and in church, but he'd be happier if you won somebody to Jesus, because that's really what he wants. He's not willing that any should perish. So praise the Lord. Well, we sang those songs tonight, just precious memories that we've a story to tell. I learned that song at Coronado Baptist Church when I was 12 years old, and that song, Constantly Abiding, I might have heard it before, but the first time I ever remember hearing it sung was I was preaching on Grand Turk Island in 1998, and they sang that song in that church, and it was just really sticks out in my mind. I'm glad I got so many memories about serving God, songs about the Lord. It's a joy to be saved. All right, Romans chapter 1, Brother Jimmy sang a song about anger, and we had not discussed this ahead of time, but our topic this evening will tend in that direction. The Bible says in Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness." That's pretty much everything going on in America right now. "And unrighteousness," that's the vast majority of it, "of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Last time we were together, we ran a number of passages in the Word of God just to help you be certain that God is a God of wrath. God is love, but a God who is only love is perverse. A God who is only love is unjust. And God is love, but God is also wrath. And the wrath of God abides upon everyone who has not trusted his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his wrath abides upon them because they are ungodly and unrighteous. Your society, their big word is tolerance, but they won't tolerate God or Jesus Christ or the Bible or real Christians, but they talk about being tolerant. God is not tolerant. He's long-suffering, and he's patient, and he's merciful. But he's not tolerant. See, tolerant, what they mean is you are supposed to treat my misbehavior as though it's a good thing. And you are supposed to treat my perversion as though it's a normal thing. And that is tolerance. God is not tolerant. He gives people space to repent. But when that time runs out, his wrath falls upon them. And it will one day fall upon this whole world, but today it fell upon thousands, countless thousands of men and women today met with the wrath of God. They went from driving a car or working on a job or reclining in their bed in a nursing home, and they closed their eyes, and the next thing they knew, they were in hell. And they found out that God wasn't as tolerant as their liberal minister said he was. And this generation, I don't hesitate to preach about it. I don't hesitate to talk about it. If there's one thing this generation needs to hear, they need to hear about the wrath of God and the judgment of God and about hell. Because they're not brainwashed, they're brain dirtied. There's no washing to it. They believe in their hearts that because mother never corrected them, because dad wasn't there to correct them, because the school teacher wasn't allowed to correct them, because the policeman got sued when he corrected them, because the preacher was too big a coward to correct them, they think God doesn't care. And he does. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. How could you look at all this death and all these graveyards and all these cemeteries and all this and not believe in the wrath of God? If God is nothing but love, how do you explain all this death? Wages of sin is death. And so it pays off every single day. But so we looked at Numbers, we looked at Deuteronomy, looked at 2 Samuel, looked at Isaiah, we looked at Jeremiah, we looked at Psalms, and God's wrath is all through the Bible. Revelation 16:19 warns men of the fierceness of his wrath. And Colossians 3:6 says, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. But tonight we want to start with this. Come to James 1. Let's pray and then we'll go to James chapter 1. Father, help us tonight to believe the Bible. Lord, in a world that seems just dead set against everything you ever said in your word, help us, God, to be separate from this world in our thoughts, in our actions, in our attitudes, by believing your word. And we thank you for helping us with that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, James chapter 1 and verse number 19. As we said, this fits the theme of the song that was sung this evening. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, what's wrath? It's anger in action, as we saw last time. You are not to act out on your angry impulses. You are not to speak out on your displeasure. It is so natural for us. Listen, it's okay. You have to be angry with what's going on in this society. You have to be angry with what people are doing to one another. You have to be angry with people's attitudes about God and about the Bible. But the Lord said you need to slow down before you act on that. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now you can justify it and I can justify it. And you can excuse it and I can excuse it. But what God just said there is, when my anger acts out, God's righteousness is not accomplished. Well, Jesus got mad and turned out, yeah, Jesus never sinned. So this is not the time for you to compare yourself to Jesus. And Jesus looked round about on them with anger. I know that, you know that. But Jesus didn't say, do what I... He didn't say, do what I did. He said, do what I tell you to do. Well, aren't we supposed to... Look, of course we're supposed to follow Jesus. He didn't tell you to get out of a boat and walk on water. Okay? So, we understand Jesus did a lot of things. But he gave us the Bible and we're supposed to live by the Bible. And when you get angry and you don't get a grip on that anger, but instead you speak it out or you act it out, but the Bible says God's righteousness is not accomplished. Okay? Well, come on, we all got to get that. They're going to ask you some questions in that mission that make you want to get in a verbal dispute. And they're going to say some things to you out there preaching on the street. They're going to make you want to retaliate, verbally or otherwise. And people are going to do some things. You're going to see them do some things at work and other places. If you believe the Bible, this is what God said. When you express your anger, when you act out on your anger, God's righteousness will not be accomplished. That's what he said. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You hear this all. Well, you know, I'm Italian. Italians have a temper. I'm a German. Germans have a temper. I'm Latin, and Latin, you know, we got hot blood. And God didn't say, don't have a temper. What he said was, the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. He wants you to let the Holy Spirit control your temper. He doesn't want you excusing yourself because you have one. He wants you to let Him get control of it so it doesn't hinder His work. Fair enough? All right, Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Look, it is hard enough to witness anymore and give out tracts and tell people about Jesus. It's hard enough after the news media. You know, hardly anybody in America know a thing about that Westboro bunch of wackos if it wasn't for the news media. The news media wants to promote people who are doing it wrong. Okay? So the world already expects you to insult them. And it doesn't do you any good to go out there and say, well, we're not part of those Westboro people, if you then act like them. Okay? Here's a man that's not saved and he's yelling at you. Here's a man that's not saved and he's insulting you. Here's a man that's not saved and he's cursing at you. If you have the Holy Spirit, he is not supposed to be able to convert you to his behavior. We're supposed to be able to stand on the high ground and not respond to a lost man like a lost man. Fair enough? So, boy, you know, my husband, he says some things. My wife, she says some things. Everybody says some things. It is not a license to retaliate. This idea that because somebody did wrong, it's okay now for me to do wrong because the door to wrong is open. You don't have to walk through it. If your spouse starts a fight, just let them know the frustration of not being able to have a two-way dispute. You're so stupid. Oh, I know. If you knew me like the Lord knows me. It's hard to have a one-person argument. I mean, one person can yell and holler and all that kind of stuff, but just... get a hold of yourself. Genesis 4. I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 4. And we know this couple. This is Cain and Abel. And Adam and Eve, they raised Abel properly, but they didn't raise Cain properly. And Adam and Eve, they homeschooled Abel, but they sent Cain to the public school. And they let Abel hang out with the right kids, but they let Cain hang out with the wrong kids. No, the fact of the matter is, they were raised by the same parents in the same environment, and they decided what they were going to do with God. So do your best. Do your best, and hope to the Lord for mercy and help. All right, anyway, Adam knew Eve, his wife, 4:1, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. One of the little children of the Good News Club today, they were learning about Jesus coming into the world. And one of the little children asked my wife, said, well, what is a virgin? And my wife was kind enough to turn that question over to Brother Ed. I said, Ed, how'd you answer that question? He said, very carefully. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. So she didn't have relations with a serpent. What? Oh, believe me, people teach a lot of weird things. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel's keeper of sheep, but Cain was a killer of the ground, tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that, I'm ahead of myself, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. We all get that way sometimes. And his countenance fell. We all get that way sometimes. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Okay, he's wroth. He's pouting. But God tells him to deal with it. Fix it. God, listen, God didn't change the rules of sacrifice so Cain wouldn't be angry. God didn't change the rules of offering so Cain wouldn't be angry. God didn't meet him halfway so Cain would calm down. He said to Cain, straighten up. Get a grip on yourself. How about that? And verse number 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Unto thee should be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Sin wants to run your life. And God told you to conquer your sin. That's a man without salvation, without the Holy Spirit. Lord said, there's sin at the door and sin wants to rule over you, and I want you to be the master of that sin. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. He didn't kill him because he had a temper. He killed him because he wouldn't control his temper. He didn't kill him because he got angry. He killed him because he wouldn't bring his anger under control when God warned him to do so. Our law courts, here's what they recognize. There is first degree murder. That's premeditation. I thought it through. I wanted to kill that person. I set a time, I set a place, and I went and did the deed. But our law courts also have a thing called manslaughter because they understand there are a lot of people in the last month who killed another human being who had no intention of doing so. They just got mad. They just got angry. And what they will say to their attorney in the private counsel is, I lost my temper. That's a perfect Bible phrase, though it's not in the Bible. You are not supposed to lose your temper. You're supposed to arrest your temper. You are supposed to govern your temper and control your temper. I guarantee you there are some innocent men in prison tonight. I know there are. But there's also some men in prison, many of them, who are there for killing a man or killing a woman that they never intended to kill. They just lived their life without ever governing their emotions. And one day it went farther than they ever thought it would. That's just a fact. Cain, the first murder in the Bible. In fact, people say, boy, things have never been as bad as they are right now. Yeah, there was a time when the murder rate on earth was 25%. One out of every four people living on the earth was murdered. That's bad. I mean, that tops Chicago. That's a bad place to live, wherever Cain and Abel were living, just east of Eden there, I guess. But anyway, he killed him because he wouldn't control his temper. Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49. There are some things about God that He wants you and me to put in practice in our life. Love, long-suffering, kindness, truthfulness. There are some things about God we can't be trusted with. And wrath is one of them. Genesis 49. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. That's an odd phrase, isn't it? They have in their homes the means whereby to harm other people. I'm not sure what all that means, but it doesn't sound good, does it? Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, And in their self-will, they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it is fear. It was fierce. And their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. You know what he just said? They're angry, they're wrathful, they're cruel. And God, keep my soul away from people like that. I don't want to come near their dwelling. See that? And then he said, what I'm going to do for the sake of the nation, I'm going to split them up so they can't work together and cooperate together. It's bad enough you got an angry man over here and an angry man over here, but you put two angry men together, it's almost like it multiplies their ability to hurt people. So he said, I'm going to split them up. You know, fellas, I don't know if we got anything like this going on here. I hope we don't. But if there's a man you know and he's angry at his wife, or he's angry at his brothers and sisters in Christ, or he's angry with his pastor, and every time he gets around you or you get around him, he just talks about how angry. Get away from that person. That's Genesis 49. You know, a woman just mad at the world. She's mad at her husband. She's mad at her parents. She's mad at her church. She's mad at God. Stay away from somebody like that. That's what the Bible said. Well, why? What if you don't have a why? What if God just said, stay clear of that? I can give you one good reason. If you got a problem in your flesh, or you got a habit, or you got a sin that plagues you, do you really need to be hanging out with someone who practices that sin without reservation? Wouldn't it encourage that? Let's say you used to drink and you got saved and now you're following the Lord, you don't drink anymore. You mean saved people don't drink? No. Well, not the ones that are following the Lord. Would it be helpful to you as you separate yourself from a life of alcohol consumption to hang out with people that drink? No, you need to get away from that crowd. Now, all of us don't drink, but pretty much all of us have some anger issues from time to time. Well, if you know somebody that's just constantly broiling about something, constantly lashing out about something, or again, stay clear of that person. That's Genesis 49. All right, Job chapter 5. Job chapter number 5. Job, the 5th chapter. Verse number 1. Call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? So we never pray to saints. Job's in a mess, and good advice from his friend. No saint going to help you. But turn to the Lord. Verse 2, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Wrath killeth the foolish man. You know, a lot of those guys are gonna die tonight in a barroom stabbing or a barroom shooting. It's because they didn't just walk away. Well, you know what he said to me? Walk away. You know what he did to me? Walk away. He put his hands on me. Walk away. Walk away. Somebody cuts you off on the road? Slow down. Let them go. You don't need to roll your car 3 times with a kid in the back seat chasing down somebody because you're road raged. People put themselves in hospitals, and they put themselves in graves, and they put themselves in prisons because they act out on their anger, and their wrath takes their life from them. That's the Bible. Oh, you know, Jesus made a whip and he chased the money changers out of the temple. Yes, he did. And he was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners, and you're not. You make a whip and come in the temple, you're liable to get whipped. Amen. All right. Good verses, aren't they? Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. Anger, cruelty, wrath, harsh words, evil speaking. So many of those things are like boomerangs. Man, you toss them out there, but they turn around, come right back at you and hit you in the face. Just let some things go. Settle down. He insulted me. Well, who are you anyway? You know, if we weren't proud, people couldn't insult us. How dare he say that about me? Well, if he knew everything about you, he'd say a lot more than that. Proverbs 19, verse 19. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Watch this. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Look, brother, you get yourself in trouble at home, or you get yourself fired from a job, or you cause some kind of conflict in a church. Your pastor and your friends can help you get out of that and help you get through that and put you, you know, patch you and your wife back up and help you find another job. But if you don't learn to let the Holy Ghost control your temper, you're just going to do it again and again and again. And you're going to say, well, there's no church I can go to because, you know, none of them are. No, it's not every church you're in. It's you. It's not every woman you've ever met. It's you. It's not every employer you ever tried to work for. It's you. Get a grip on yourself. Well, you know, I'm working there and they don't treat me with any respect. You're not there to get respect. You're there to get paid. Just shut up and mumble to yourself and do your job, and then in 2 weeks they'll hand you some money. I'm here to apply for work. Okay, fine. When can you start? I can start Monday. Well, you want to know how much it pays? No, I just want you to respect me. No, how about pay me? Pay me. Well, you know, I went down there to that church, and you know, some of those people didn't treat me like I thought I should have been treated. Well, guess what? Everybody there is living in their own little world. Some of them got stomach aches, some of them got headaches, some of them got back trouble, some of them got kid trouble, some of them got marriage trouble, some of them are just rude. Did you come to church to get angry, or did you come to church to sing praise to Jesus? Come to church to learn something about the Bible, or did you come to church to get offended? You get whatever you came for. It's here, whatever you want, you can have it. But that Bible says if you don't control that temper, it's going to just keep messing you up again and again and again and again until you let the Lord help you get that thing under control. You know, there's a woman in the Bible. She'd been married 5 times. The man she was with wasn't her husband. Remember her, that woman at the well? You really think it was 5 men in a row that were good for nothing? Or you think maybe that woman had a problem? Made every man in the world want to be with Elizabeth Taylor until he got with her. And then they wanted to get out of there as quick as they could. Come on, if every job you've ever had you got fired because you couldn't get along with anybody, it's not the rest of the world conspiring against you. Get a grip on yourself. Learn to hold your tongue. Learn to take some abuse. Everybody didn't get up in the morning planning to treat you well.
Well, those people, they treated me so rotten.
Even when it's their job to treat you well, they're not going to do it. You come to the counter, they say, can I help you? You better not want any more help than what they want to give you. Because they only said, may I help you, because they want to get paid. They don't want to help you. waitress come to the table and say, I'm here to serve you. Anything you want, you just name it. So, can you wash my car? Right. Well, no, why? Well, you said, you know. Call these people online. You get some problem or something, and you get them in the conversation. They say, is there anything else I can do for you today? See, yeah, house payment. What? A house payment. Well, I can't do that. You said, is there anything else I can do for you? Why are you surprised when people don't treat you like you want to be treated? It's life. Quit getting angry about it. Quit lashing out at it. Just smile, say thanks, walk away. Yeah, Luke chapter 4.
That's all Old Testament.
Okay. I thought you might say that. Luke chapter 4. Say, don't you ever get mad. I get so mad. I get so frustrated. I have a desire to just strangle the life out of somebody. But you can't do it. Because you'd get in trouble. That's if it wasn't for that. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to yell at you and insult you and call you names. And then before I leave. Oh, and by the way, read this. This is about Jesus. It changed my life. Luke chapter 4. And here's a little preaching here. Verse 27, many lepers were in Israel. Well, let's go back. 26, unto none of them, this is Elijah in the days of the famine, drought. Unto none of them was Elias sent, saved unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, that's Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. You know what happens here almost every single Sunday of the year? Someone heard this was a good church. Someone heard this was a great place to go to church. Someone was invited and encouraged to come to church here. And they came and we opened the Bible and we told them what the Bible said and they were filled with wrath. And 1/3 or 2/3 or 9/10 of the way through that sermon, they said, I am never coming back to this place. What did we do? We opened the Bible and told you what the Bible said. What did the Lord do in Luke chapter 4? He opened the Old Testament. He said, here's what I did over here, and here's what I did over here, and here's what Elijah did, and here's what Elisha did. And they were filled with wrath. You know why? They wanted to come to the synagogue, but they didn't want to improve. They wanted to come to a religious gathering and have some fellowship and you know, hang out with the other people at the synagogue, but they didn't want anything in their life called into question, and they didn't want to be corrected. Okay, now, just tonight, all of us, maybe, there are some people here. And you're as spiritual as you intend to be. You're as good a Christian as you intend to be. There might be one or two here who think you are perfected. The only thing needs change in the rapture is your body needs to be glorified. Everything else, you got it figured out. But I'm sorry. But I'm just going to tell you something. You are as good a husband, as good a wife, as good a parent, as good a soul winner, as good a church member, as good a Christian as you will ever, ever be in your life if you can't be corrected. When someone tries to correct you and you bow up or get an attitude, what you're saying is, I've gone as far as I intend to go. There's nothing left in my life that needs to be improved upon. And people come to church for, I guess, a variety of reasons. And you know that the main reason is not to be a better Christian, because when you show them something from the Bible that they don't like, they don't repent, they don't bring their life into line with the Word of God, they're filled with wrath and anger. That's a fact. Save people. They'll come to church and they'll sit through 45 straight sermons that they agree with. 45 straight sermons that they like and never say a word. In sermon number 46, if you say one thing they think might not line up with what they believe, they have got to let you know about it. That's a real bad balance. Well, I just don't agree with what he said, and I just feel like somebody got to tell him. Okay, show me in the Bible that something's wrong or something wasn't said correctly or something didn't line up. Be glad to hear it. But I'd be more glad to hear it if once in the last 5 years you said, that was really good, I really appreciated that. Amen. You know, brother, it's not that you weren't right when you told your wife she needed to do something different. It's just that all the things she does that you agree with, you never mention them. And it's just the balance. It gets old. Sister, if you're going to gripe the one time he didn't do something he said he was going to do, but you hadn't thanked him once in a year for going to work and earning the money and putting the groceries on the table and putting a roof over your head, it's not appreciated. Well, I just felt like I need to say something. Why do we feel like we need to say something when we're angry, but we never feel like we need to say something when we're happy? What if whenever you were blessed, you just felt like, I really need to say something? You know, I've held back this appreciation long enough, and I'm finally going to tell you, I appreciate you. When we're angry, we just have to say it. But when we're happy, we can let it go. It's, you know, I don't want to get them puffed up or anything, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians 12. And verse number 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now he put a lot of things in that verse, but tonight reproaches. Tonight persecutions. You know how Galatians 4 defines persecution? Being laughed at. Sarah laughed at Hagar, mocked her, made fun of her, and the Bible says she persecuted her. Reproaches. It is not my natural tendency to take pleasure in reproaches. I'm guessing it's not your natural tendency to take pleasure in persecutions, people mocking you and laughing at you. But here's how it goes. I would like to be able to, like some of you guys, you just get up in the morning and you go out and you run 2 or 3 miles. Just, you know, stay in shape, keep the heart pumping, all that stuff. I would really like to be able to do that. But the first tenth of a mile or so hurts. And I don't like that. So I just, well, you know, Lord, I'm going to serve you and trust you to keep my heart beating. He might and he might not. Who knows? We'll see. We say, I want to be a stronger Christian. But it hurts to lift the weights. And it hurts to run on the treadmill. And it hurts to skip the meals to lose the weight. And so we don't do it because it hurts. You want to be a better Christian? Here comes some reproaches. Because look, you're out there witnessing. You don't need to be a better out there witnessing. You got that down. What you need to be is a person who's able to handle being insulted. Lord, I want to be a better Christian. Help me to give out 10 tracts today instead of 9. Well, that's you already given out tracts. How about, Lord, help me today to be nice to all the people that aren't nice to me? That's going to hurt some. But he said, I take pleasure in reproaches because it makes me a stronger Christian. I take pleasure in persecution because it makes me a stronger Christian, and I want to be a stronger Christian. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. God wants to make us more righteous, and every time I blow my stack and retaliate, I have frustrated God's attempts to make me more righteous. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I was preaching one night. I mentioned this last night. One night I was preaching in North Carolina, and the pews were about as wide as these front pews. And there was one row of pews, and there might have been 8. So small little church building. And I was preaching on anger. And there's a man and a woman on the back row, and she's sitting back there with her arm around him. And I would make a point from the scripture, and she would, behind his head, she'd be pointing at him and nodding. No wonder he had a temper. I thought, man, if he sees you doing that, he's going to knock you out. That's a memorable night. All right, Galatians 5, verse 17. For the flesh, anybody got flesh? You get a body of flesh? Lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery. I don't believe there's a person here tonight would say that's okay. Please. I don't think there's a person here tonight would say that's okay. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Well, what about hatred? What about variance? That's not getting along with people. Emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, that's somebody splitting a church. Heresies, that's somebody trying to split a church. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know what he said? Murder, witchcraft, adultery, wrath. Why don't we view wrath as seriously as God does? You know, if a man was committing adultery, everybody would be outraged by that. Every saved person, Bible-believing church. But if a guy blows his stack, well, you know how it is. I mean, we all get mad every now and then. And come on. Well, I don't lose my temper as often as I used to. What if you said, I don't murder people as often as I used to? It's right there in the same list. You know, preacher, I tell you, since I got saved, I don't practice witchcraft near as much as I used to. Why is it that we accept certain sins and denounce others, and God puts them side by side? If you're a fornicator, God expects you to stop it. If you're an idolater, God expects you to stop it. If you don't control your temper, God expects you to get it under control. Right, there it is, right there. Ephesians 4. You know what's going to happen? I don't know about you. I won't get home tonight until God's going to say, okay, big boy, let's see how you handle this one. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. You know what that is? Yap, 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 clamor, clamor. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's a desire to see the other person suffer. You know what the Lord said? He didn't say put away some of it. He said put away all of it. That's what he said. Now here's what we do. I'm going to be fair with you. Here's what we do. If Caleb injures me tonight and then injures me again tomorrow and then injures me three or four more times in the coming week, I am going to justify my bitterness toward him or my wrath toward him because you don't know what he did. You know what the Lord said? I want you to put it all away. I didn't say put it away unless your wife provoked it. I didn't say put it away unless your husband started it. I didn't say put it away unless you were right and the other guy was wrong. I want you to put it away. How about that? You know, look, come on, let's go back to this. If you're here tonight and you're married, and I find out 2 weeks from now you are committing adultery, and you say, yeah, but she started it. Come on, if a woman on your job starts it, that means it's okay for you to commit adultery? Come on, nobody believes that. Brother, listen, you got to love your wife. You got to quit being angry with your wife. Sister, you got to love your husband. You got to quit being angry at your husband. He started it. Really? Isn't it amazing how we pick and choose? And the reason is, we think adultery or murder would be really hurtful, but we don't believe wrath is as hurtful as God says it is. You know how many homes have been torn apart this year where there was no murder, no adultery, no idolatry, no witchcraft? But that home was torn apart because of variance and strife and wrath. You know what the Lord said? Put it away. Just put it away. I know. We want to be mad. We want to be angry. God said it's not helpful. It's not healthy. It's not safe. Right here in the same chapter, look at Ephesians 4:26. God's not unreasonable. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, if God said don't be angry, that would be impossible. But what he said is, you better get a hold on that thing before nightfall. Deal with it. Brother, you angry with your wife? Why don't you pull that car over before you get home and get your heart right with God before you walk through that door and light the thing up again. Sister, you unhappy you got a quarrel with that guy you're married to? Why don't you get down on your knees beside your bed and ask God to help you renew your vows before he gets home? Lord said put it away. Put it away. Put it away. Put it away. Get rid of that. It's going to hurt you. Get rid of that. It's going to hurt you. Get rid of that. It's going to hurt you. God help us to believe him. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Settle things quickly. Verse 8. But now you saved? Verse 1, if you're risen with Christ, are you? Verse 4, and Christ who is our life shall appear. Got life in Christ? Verse 8, now put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. You saved? God said, get that anger off. You saved? Get that wrath, get it off. You saved? Get that malice off. Boy, I'm going to hurt her. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get even with him. No, you're not. No, you're not. You'll never get even with somebody to hurt you. You'll never settle all the scores. Just put it away. Just put it away. Get on with your life. Bible. That's the Bible. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. See that? 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know what the Lord's saying? Your attitude's going to wreck your home. Fix your attitude. Fix your attitude. What a book. What a book. It's almost like whoever wrote it knew all about the people he was writing to. Okay, let's go one more stop here. Matthew chapter 5. Say, Matthew's not for the church. Okay, but it's for you. Matthew 5:21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. I wonder how many people in your country today have never heard that. Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill should be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause should be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca should be in danger of the council. Well, praise the Lord. That's one sin I've never committed. Finally found one. I've never said Raca to anybody. Feel better about myself already. Should be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool should be in danger of hellfire. Okay, now look, I know I'm not going to hell. I got eternal life. So I understand there's a dispensational context here. But look at verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar. So you're just going on worshiping God. You're just going on serving the Lord. And there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. See that? You know what the Lord said? How can you be right with me when you don't love my children? How can we walk together when I'm walking with people that you won't walk with? You're going to come to the altar? That's a good thing. You're going to bring a gift to God? That's a good thing. You're going to worship the Lord? That's a good thing. How come you won't speak to Him? I don't want your gift. Go over there and make that right. How come you're not talking to her? I don't want your gift. Go over there and make that right. That is what He said. He doesn't want our form of godliness if we're denying the power thereof. You know, it doesn't really take God's power to help you with something that you don't have a problem with. Right? There are so many sins, I've never had to pray and say, God, help me with that, because I've never had any desire for them. Thank the Lord. But man, there's some I pray about almost every day. How about you? You know what? If anger's an issue with you, like it is with most people, and wrath is an issue with you, like it is with most people, why don't you let God help you? Instead of just excusing it because it's just how you are. He didn't save us to leave us how we are. He saved us to make us better. Some of us got a shorter fuse than others, but all of us have a fuse. And all of us get that fuse lit from time to time. And the Lord said, I want you to put that fuse out before that bomb goes off. It's a funny thing how we are. People say things and they can never take them back. They do things when they're angry and they can never undo them. Would to God we'd get that anger under control. I don't think Cain got up that morning and said, here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go worship God. I'm going to bring God a sacrifice. And then I'm going to kill my brother. But his temper ran out of control. And by the end of the day, he was a murderer. Didn't intend to be. He just thought temper wasn't that big a problem. Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Father, our hearts, our spirits, our minds, we get angry, we snap. We get angry, we say things. We get angry and we lash out. Lord, would you please, please help us to come to you. Get help from your Holy Spirit to get victory over this temper of ours, to be temperate, under control of the Holy Spirit at all times. Please, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about a Thursday night altar call? We stand and sing number 334. I go down there, people know I get angry. Everybody knows you get angry. Everybody gets angry. Let's do business with God. 334.